for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, July the 1st, 1991. Fourth of July week, a family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Harris of Beckville, Texas, is the teacher of the morning.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
The spirit of a man will sustain him. What is that? Proverbs 18:14. You're familiar with this passage, I know. I call our attention to it here, because this is what happened here. In 18 and 14, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? This wounds your spirit. So he's saying that your spirit will sustain any physical wound. You could cut my arm off, and I'll get well. I'll have an arm missing, but you could, you know. I had both legs broken, one arm at one whack, and was shot with an MG-42. Don't know how many times I was shot. He hamburgered my legs, and maybe I was shot 30 times, and had bones sticking out all over. Laid 73 hours. And without any medical attention except what I could do for and what my buddy could do that was with me, with just first aid kits. And my spirit sustained and kept me alive. And it kept me alive until I could get to where I could get help. And then it was, a fluctuating battle for a few weeks as to whether my spirit would sustain the infirmities or not, but it did. But so that is self-explanatory, that our spirit will sustain all kinds of defects, but a wounded spirit, he says, who can bear that? And I tell you, when one touches our spirit and wounds our spirit, well, that's tough. That's bad. That's, you can't just apply a Band-Aid to that or put a splint on it. Hallelujah. Amen. You just can't quite get to it to start the operation of healing. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a way that the wounded spirit can be healed, but that's another message. But I'm just making points now by saying this, that it is the wounded spirit. If you would be a son of God, if you would want to be in leadership, you have to get ready to be hurt. If you would just be in the body of Christ on any level, in any position, people are going to hurt you. But let me tell you this, and this is perhaps even more sad than the fact that I know that people are going to hurt me, and people have hurt me, and that's sad. But what's more sad to me is, I've hurt people too. And now as I begin to weigh the circumstances, it seems to me like that I'd rather to be hurt than to be the one that causes the hurt. Hallelujah. It hurts me worse to hurt than it does to get hurt. But that's the spirit of sonship. Hallelujah. I have pressed in for the lofty calling, and whatever the Lord has called me to, I graciously accept it. I thankfully accept it. Hallelujah. I'm going to get hurt. Oh, I've already been hurt. I'm going to be hurt again. And doubtless I'll hurt somebody again. God forbid, but that's the way that we're moving in this end time. But I'll never do it intentionally. Hallelujah. I will never do it intentionally, and I suppose that most of the hurts I've had have not been intentionally. Most of them weren't directed directly at me. Again, they came through indirectly. They came to me indirectly, but it hurt. It hurt. All right, so number three is that you have to know. Do you know? The Bible says Jesus, knowing from the beginning who it was that would betray him, knowing that he was sent from God. You know, in St. John says that there was a man, his name was John. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. He was sent from God. He knew that he was sent from God. Jesus knew that he came out from the Father. Now, the third principle is that you have to know. Do you know that you have been called? Do you know that you've passed from death unto life? Do you know that God has touched you? We sang that old song, He touched me. Do you know that He has touched you? Yes. Do you know that we are called? Do you? Now, I've talked to some of the greatest preachers that this generation has raised up. As a matter of fact, I don't want to sound boastful, but I've walked with what I consider and what is widely considered by many to be the best ministry that this generation has produced. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God forever. And I've asked many of them on, as I got better acquainted with them, traveled with them, preached with them, and stayed with them. They stayed with me, and we spent a lot of time together. And I asked several of the better preachers that I knew to say, was there a time that you knew that you was called of God, and did God just call you like a all at once and speak to you clearly, and you knew that God was calling you into the ministry? And all that I ever asked didn't have a minute that they could refer to. That was the exact moment that God called them. Now, what had me worried was that was my plot. Now, I've got a sister that preaches, and she swears that God called her just as direct as I said, "Hey, Brother Glenn, go fix lunch." That's not hard to understand, is it? And Glenn knows that was direct to him. He heard it. And she swears that God called her just that direct. But she is not the only one that I have heard ministers that I know that I have heard say that God called him just that direct. But he didn't, and I didn't, and I came up to an old school that all of them claimed that he called them just that direct, and I could not remember when the Lord said to me, "Hey." I never heard him say that. And so I didn't know. I mean, you know, if this seems to be the trend of the age and the way that God does it, why didn't he do me that way too? And so I asked I've asked several preachers, and the better ones that I've asked, they didn't know. Well, of course, I know now why that I didn't know. Now, let me tell you. Now, see, I came into the ministry and I was already doing it, and I never had that never had happened to me. And here I am doing it. Am I doing it without being called or being sent? Have I been just coaxed into this? And kindly, the way that I come in, it seems like that I was kindly coaxed in. I'll tell you how that I got in the ministry to start with. It was the most innocent thing you ever seen. Now, I was saved and, you know, had the baptism and went to church and did all the things you're supposed to do. And back in those days, we'd have testimonies. And, of course, I had the testimony and I'd testify. I never had no intention of... In my subconscious, I knew that it was going to happen, but I never wanted it to happen, it seemed. And I just kept, you know. And so I was with a preacher, a friend of mine. And he'd come down to my office where I had a business, and I took him out to lunch. And while we were eating lunch, another preacher comes in that he knows, but I don't know him. And he's from just across the state line over in Louisiana. And we're in Texas there, just pretty close to the state line, 40 miles away. And he has lunch with us. This preacher has lunch with him. He introduces him to me, and we have a visit there, so this preacher gets ready to go, And he says to me, he says, Brother Harris, are you a minister? And before I could tell him no, my friend says yes. So he's a preacher and a good one. Well, he said, Brother Harris, he said, I've got a church over here just across the state line over there, and we have service on Friday night. I think this was long about Wednesday. And he said, "Would I'd be glad if you'd come over and preach for us Friday night." And my friend was waiting to see what I was going to say, and I didn't hesitate. I just said, I'll be glad to. So, you know, and then when he left and my other preacher friend left, I got thinking about what we had said and what I now faced. But I'm going to do it. So I began to try to make preparation as much as possible, you know, and get ready. And the closer the time it got, the more willing I would have been to back out. And so I hoped on the way over on that Friday night, I hoped this was old Pentecostal school, you know, and I hoped that we'd have such a runaway that there wouldn't be no preaching. We often did that a lot. And I could fake it a night or two. Well, we got there, and there always was a lot of preliminaries, so we was having a lot of preliminaries. I'm sitting up on the platform with the pastor. He don't know I ain't never preached before. And I ain't going to tell him. I never told him to this day. I think he knows it now, but I didn't tell him. He said, well, what I figured was one nervous preacher on the platform is enough. So we get the closer to the deadline we get, you know, the more anxious I become or nervous. I'm afraid. I'm scared. Huh? And so finally the preliminaries are over, so he looks back at me and says, well, come on, Brother Harris. So I just got up and come on. And I stuck my Bible up there like I seen them do, you know. And opened it to something I thought I wanted to talk about. And I said, let's pray. Oh, we prayed and the glory fell. Hallelujah. And I just preached. I wish we'd had it on tape. I mean, if you'll allow me, I'll just tell you that I preached good. And I felt good. I tell you, when I opened that book and said, let's read our text, I felt something hit me. But I still didn't hear him say, no. So I preached for him, and we had a great time. And so he said, man, said, we still start a revival. Said, the Lord's already started one. Can you come? I said, yeah, come. So I preached about 10 nights for him there. Got a lot of people saved and a lot of things happened. And the visiting church pastors came over and they all invited me. Yeah, I preached in that area about 3 months, nearly every night. And I had to just go home then. I mean, no, of course, I was going back and forth home and doing other things, but I was preaching. But I was ready to quit revivaling. And so the church where I was pastor, not long after that, I had a radio broadcast over Henderson Live Studio. And I banged the guitar and sang the old songs of Zion and sang anything. And I was at this radio station on Sunday afternoon, and our church had, the church that I am at now, we come without a pastor, and they was wanting to elect a pastor. So we hadn't come to Zion yet. We're still electing them. and so somebody entered my name. Well, I didn't know nothing about it, because the last time they voted on one, that asked me if I'd like to be entered, and I wouldn't. So they, but anyway, I wasn't there, so they entered me and elected me. And they came, sent the elders over to radio station to tell me that afternoon. Bud Jackson, we had that meeting this morning and the church election, and we elected you pastor. Well, I said, I don't want to be a pastor. Well, said, we already, everybody wants you? And I said, well, yeah, this really not in my plans, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come over tonight, Sunday night, and I'll preach for you, and we'll talk some more, but well, I don't think I want a pastor. And so I went over that night, and they confirmed that they wanted me to pastor, and I told them that my plans were not to pastor. I didn't know whether I was called a pastor or not. I just told them. But I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, though. I just felt kind of sorry for them that they'd be left there without any kind of a leader, you know. And I said, I'll fill in for you until you can get a pastor. But with this understanding that you keep looking, because I don't want this to be a long, drawn-out thing. I want you to be looking for a pastor while I'm filling in here. So they said, all right. Well, that was about 38 years ago, and sometimes I get to suspecting they ain't even looking for no pastor. Oh, Lord. Well, I traveled during that time of pastoring or filling in. They never elected me anymore, either. We never had another election. And I thought we had come too close to Zion for elections. So my status is this: nobody has hired me, so nobody can fire me. If the whole church that I'm filling in at was here, I'd say that. Nobody has hired me, so nobody can fire me. If somebody can hire me, that same somebody can fire me. And this business that I am engaged in is too important to be judged and directed by emotions. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, I finally learned why I didn't hear him when he called me. Because he called me before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. I probably heard him then, but I don't remember it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, so you have to know. But it didn't make any difference then that I had not heard him call me, just like my natural sister had. Just like other ministers that had heard tell about their calling, it didn't matter. I knew and I know that I'm called of God. I guess it was the only way God could get me where he wanted me, just to, you know, have the folks just shifted me in there. Hallelujah. And then I traveled all over the world, basically and generally speaking, in ministry. Hallelujah. I felt like Paul told Silas, he said, let's go back everywhere we've been and see how God has dealt with the brethren. And I've been going up and down the land for all of those years. But I have some annual meetings that I have that I've been going for over 30 years. Same place, same time of year, every year. Several of them. And when I was ordained into the ministry, the prophets prophesied, and an old prophet was old, like 75 years old then. And, of course, I was just a boy, kind of, you know. Oh, I was grown, but I was in my 20s. And he prophesied over me, and he had a great roaring voice, you know. And he prophesied me to minister all over the world. And he said, as you go up and down the aisles of the countries, everywhere you go, quote the scriptures by the unction, by the chapters. And every time you do it, I'll break the yoke and destroy the fetters. Hallelujah. Well, I didn't know how to quote the scriptures from the unction by the chapters. But you know, I've done it anyhow. If you ask me how much of the Bible can I quote, I can quote it all. But I can't do it just to show you I can do it. But when I start, the unction starts. Sometimes I start before the unction does, but the unction ain't much behind. It's always sitting there watching me. And when I start, it gets in there. And when it does, I don't know where I could go. I prophesied, or I didn't prophesy. I quoted 2 1-hour-and-a-half tapes without a break. They taped me. 2 90-minute tapes. And I was still quoting when we run out of tapes. And we played them. They played them back. And I quoted verbatim the King James Version. Ask me what version do I preach from. But ask me if I'm opposed to any of the others. I'm not. But when I have quoted the scripture by unction, I have quoted the King James Version verbatim. But I didn't learn that. I didn't learn it. It just came. It was came like you didn't learn tongues, but you spoke in tongues. It just came, didn't it? I didn't learn prophecy. Prophecy just comes. Hallelujah. You have to know that you are called. Now, even if I don't have this call, I have enough evidence of the calling that I've never heard where anybody doubted this calling. Hallelujah. Oh, the wonder of it all. I've seen God touch every heart. Say, I pastored or filled in for a long time, and people see me around all over the country. Say, hey, you don't pastor. I see you everywhere I go. You're preaching everywhere I show up. And I said, well, I'll tell you the truth. I'm just keeping a good bunch of people from getting a pastor. Praise the Lord. I'm just filling in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, but it's worked real good. The Lord has been gracious to me. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hear my cry, O Lord. Attend unto my plea. From the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. I tell you, I stand before you and my heart is overwhelmed. I only know one direction to go, and that is to that rock that is higher than I. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, so the third principle was that you have to know. Now let's go to the fourth principle. I'm going to have to close here in the next 15 minutes to 12. I'll close about that time if I can. Praise the Lord. All right, the fourth principle was, what did we say the fourth principle was? He stripped himself. All right, if you would have this ministry, you'll have to be stripped. You ask me how many strippings? Well, I don't know. You'll have to be stripped of everything. Abraham had many strippings. Joseph had 3 strippings. And Joseph is one of the most beautiful types of the blessed Lord Jesus, isn't he? And as Joseph had 3 strippings, setting forth the example or the foreshadowing, the strippings that Jesus would have. And Jesus, too, had 3 strippings. Well, I should have started here, and I'd had time to strip them. Because now that my time's gone, I'm just got where, you know, where we could really get into this. All right, but let's look at the strippings of Joseph. In Genesis 37 and 23, you may make a note of it, and you can read it later if you want to, or turn over there, whatever. Joseph stripped himself. I mean, he didn't strip himself here, but he is stripped in Genesis chapter 37. And verse 23, you remember that his father made him the beautiful robe, coat of many colors, and caused his brethren to hate him, his half-brothers, and they hated him. And And his father loved him more than the other. He was his favorite. He was the favorite son of the fair-haired son of his father. And they hated him because he had dreams and revelation and visions. He dreamed that he was going to be important in the earth. He dreamed that he was going to figure basically in the move of God. He dreamed that God was going to use him. He dreamed that his brethren would come and bow down to him. He dreamed that even his father and his mother would bow down in his presence. He dreamed of being highly exalted in his submission to the Lord. It was not a greed for honor or a greed for prestige. He dreamed that God, he knew that God was moving through him. And so the coat of many colors was a coat that exemplified authority and leadership. It was a coat worn by a prince. And his brothers looked at that coat, knew that his father had made it for him, and they hated him the more. So they stripped him. In the, what did I say, 23rd verse? In about the 23rd verse, they stripped him of his coat. His half-brothers stripped him. That is, they had the same father, but they had different mothers. Now, we got some half-brothers that would like to strip us. Oh, amen. We've got the same father, but we got different mothers. And the mother is the church. The mother is the church. We know who the father is. We all have the same father, but we've got different mothers, and the mothers have taught the children how to relate to the father. You understand that? Let me make myself clear here now. All right. When my family was young, my boys, I had four boys, four sons, one daughter. And when they were young, I sometimes went for a month at a time, and I didn't even see them awake. Yeah, I was working and had a business to run and was doing ministry too. You know, it kept me hopping. And though I was in a lot, I'd come in after they went to bed. And I'd leave out on the next deal before they get up. And I did this for a long time. When my boys were, they're older than the daughter, and they were young. But their mother was with them. And it could have gone something like this. My boy said, "Well, my dad, he's not here to take us to Little League, or not here to take us to swimming, or what?" And my wife could have said, who's their mother, could have said, "Oh, your daddy don't care nothing about you." And this kind of a conversation could have transpired many times. I could have said, "Your daddy could not be quite so harsh. So, well, your daddy don't understand these things, and you just have to understand the kind of man he is." But that's not what she told him. She told him, "Well, you know your daddy loves you, and he's trying to make a living. Well, you know, buy you all of these things, have all of this, and when summer comes, he'll slow down, and you know, he'll be with you a lot." And she taught them that my motives were right. But she could have taught them the other way if she'd wanted to, and they would have grew up thinking. If she'd have told them I didn't care for them, they'd have found evidence to substantiate that everywhere they looked, and they'd have grew up thinking that I didn't care about them. Now you begin to see the picture. They had the same father, but they had different mothers. And the mother is the one that teaches them how to relate to the father. Now, we've got some half-brothers that would like to strip us of our authority. We've got the spotted coat of many colors. The authority. And we have the authority, here it is, and this is what they don't like. We have the authority, and they didn't give it to us through their committee. They didn't elect us to it. They didn't hire us to it. They didn't call us to it, but I'm wearing the coat. And I have the authority, and since they didn't give me the authority, they wonder, from whence did that authority come? It come from the Father. And I didn't wait for a committee to meet and see if I was qualified. And I didn't fill out no application. Hallelujah. Amen. I just began to do the works of God. I began to move in the realm that He had called me in. It speaks for itself. I claim no titles. I just proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't claim any titles and I don't deny any titles. Hallelujah. Amen. But it is nothing that man has done for me. It is what God has called me to. All right? Then they stripped him of that coat. Hallelujah. That was his first stripping. That gets him down in Egypt. Now he's down there in Egypt and things, he has it pretty good there. He gets a good job in Egypt. No, he's left the stripped himself from this authority. He's going now to submit to the authority of Egypt. And they've given him a good position. Yeah. The denominations, the Spirit-filled denominations used to, I don't want to sound like bragging again, but they used to, and still occasionally, no, I hadn't been in a while, but they used to try to get me to join their brotherhood, their denomination. And they would approach me like this. Oh, one denomination that has state evangelist, well, or whatever. But anyhow, they'd always offer me a lofty position. Make you state evangelist right off. But goodness, why do I want to be confined to a state? Hallelujah. Amen. Am I going to give up this authority? I preach in all the states and in foreign countries, and here's an outfit offering me a really lofty position, gonna set my boundaries. My boundaries will just be the state line in one state. I can preach anywhere in that state. And then they wonder why I wouldn't grab it. Well, goodness. Amen. You can see that's not a good trade-off, can't you? Hallelujah. Amen. Well, they don't understand because that's what their mother taught them. They got the same father I have. We have brothers, but their mother didn't teach them right. Hallelujah. Amen. And they think that it's all run by a board and a committee, and it's actually run by God. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. Hallelujah. He is the one that brings all of these things to my remembrance. He is the one. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, so he got down there in this, and then he went into the household of Pharaoh and got acquainted with, found favor with Pharaoh, and he found favor with Pharaoh's wife. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. That's right. Potiphar's wife. Who was the Pharaoh, wasn't he? All right. And she wants to seduce Joseph. And she makes a leader to at him, and I don't know all this talk, you know what happened there, and she was trying to seduce him, and he evaded her. He had too many principles, too high principles. He was under too much authority that Potiphar didn't give him. Right. He still remembered that authority and that unction, and so he wouldn't relent to her, and on this final occasion, she is real demanding, and he tears away from her, doesn't he? And she stripped off his shirt. Now, all right, first he was stripped by his brethren. Number two, he stripped by the harlot system. See, what they would do, if I had joined their outfit, what they'd do is I'd go in there and pretty soon they'd find disfavor with me. And then they'd strip me. The harlot system would strip me, and then they'd say, everybody would say, we kicked old Brother Jack out of this denomination. Hallelujah. But Brother Jack had never been kicked out of nothing. Amen. I have left some things, but I wasn't kicked out. And they wanted to, you see, they want to stop, well, you will stop this ministry. We can't have, you know. We can't have nobody out here bootlegging the gospel. He's bootlegging it, and he does it effectively. If it wasn't for him, all these people would be over in our church. So they stripped him. The harlot system stripped him. I don't hesitate to tell you that the harlot system would have liked to strip me, and they'd still like to, and they'd like to strip you too. And then comes the third stripping. This is the one, because in this one, you remember he sent for by the king or the Pharaoh, Potiphar, he sent for him. You know he's down in this prison. These guys have this dream. He interprets it. They get out. Finally, the king has a dream, and he needs an interpreter. And so they said, hey, there's a guy down there in the prison that the Spirit of God dwells in him. He can tell you what you're thinking about. So they said, well, bring him up. So the word came that Joseph was to come before the king. Now, the Bible says, what is that, 105th Psalm and about the 19th verse, until the time of his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Thank you, dear. Hallelujah. The word of the Lord tried him. Until the time that he was sent for, he had that word. He was remembering that word. God, I'm not always going to be here. Oh, no. No. And so, the Bible says when he got the word that he was going to stand before the king, he stripped himself. Now he stripped himself and came and shaved, took a bath, put on clean clothes, and come to stand before the king. This is a stripping when we strip ourselves of all everything that the world has promoted us in, and strip ourselves of all of the things that men has pushed us into, and stand before God in a brand new attire. That's how he stood before God. And that's when his reign began. But it had been three strippings. He had had a hard time getting there. He had a lot of places that he could have turned back, didn't he? Now, quickly, give me another 5 minutes, and we'll go through the strippings of the blessed Lord. Number one, he did it in reverse. Number one, the Lord stripped himself. In St. John chapter 10 and verse 17, Jesus says, no man taketh my life except I lay it down, and if I lay it down, I have the power to take it up again. I have this power is given to me by my Father. Now, I shall contend that Jesus is not talking about the death of the cross here. Now, if he is talking about it, and I give you this much, that the death of the cross is included, but that's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the death of the cross here, although it is included. He's talking about laying down his royal eternal life in the regions beyond in eternity, and entering into a frame that's going to be called the time frame. And he's going to take on the identity of humanity. He's going to be affected by time and all of these things. And he's coming into this realm. And what he is doing is he's laying down his priestly, kingly robe in eternity. The clothes that he was clothed on, the eternal clothing that he's clothed on in eternity, he lays it aside there, comes into the world. And may I suggest to you that he was dying from the time he left the eternal realm until he got back to the eternal realm. He was dying. It was all death because he was in the death realm. This time realm is a death realm. Everything is timed. We ask, how old are you? What am I trying to do? Find out how long you've been here and how much longer you can expect to be here. I know about this time element. All right? Now, this was when... All right, nowhere in the Scripture is Jesus credited with raising himself from the dead after he was crucified at Calvary. But the Bible specifically does say that God raised up Jesus from the dead. This is not the resurrection that he was talking about there. He's talking about when he gets through down here. It's going to take him to Calvary. And when he gets through with all of his mission, he fulfills that lamb, the position of the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. He sets up a church in the earth, prepares a bride, and prepares for the sons of God. And when he gets through with this, he's going to be put to death in this death realm. But God will raise him up from the dead but he said he was going to take up the life that he lay down. This is not the life he was talking about here, the one where he gave up in the time realm. God raised him up. Then he ascended back up on high. And when he ascended back on high, he come right back into the realm of eternity where he had just lived. He picks up the life that he laid down there and continues to live. And he says to me, because I live, you can live also. It's because of what I did. It's because that I loved you. It's because I was willing to give my life for you. And God has raised me from the dead. And I am alive forevermore. And because of that, you can live. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. It's all right there. It's plain to see. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, another stripping that Jesus had was in the... we've talked about the other stripping when he stripped himself in the upper room and took the towel and girded himself. The disciples come in this and they looked at that and seen that towel in preparation. They went, well, who's going to wear that thing? Well, we're apostles. They were apostles to the Lamb. You know, there are 12 apostles to the Lamb, and I don't know how many apostles there are to the church, but there's a lot of them. But Peter had the distinct, he wasn't the only one, but he holds a distinct position of being an apostle to the Lamb and an apostle church. Apostles Lamb followed Jesus through his Lamb ministry to Calvary. Then all that came in after Pentecost are apostles to the church. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, but hurriedly, and I'm closing now. So he stripped himself. That's equivalent to Joseph when he stripped himself. And in the 19th chapter, did I tell you that was in the 13th chapter of John, 4th verse? 19th chapter of John, 24th verse, the Romans strip him of his robe. You see it? They cast lots for his robe. They stripped him of his earthly robe. Joseph was stripped of his, was he? He was stripped. He had three strippings. And he stripped himself to wash the disciples' feet, to clean up our walk, to fix it where we can walk with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to come off as being against church denominations, and I know there's good people in all of them. Hallelujah. I know there's people that are saved and love God, going to meet God in peace. But the best way to go, and you don't have to believe everything that I preach to be saved. I'm not dealing with your salvation. I'm dealing with your maturity. I'm going with the presumption that you already are saved. Now I'm telling you how to be promoted. I'm telling you how to grow up in Him. I'm telling you how to come on. I'm not telling you that you have to know all that I know to be saved. Hallelujah. You don't have to know all of this to meet God in peace. But you'll be it'll be happy. Yeah, I just read where he said happy you'll be if you do know all of this, would you? Be happy. Happy. Amen. I'm not against anything that God's for. Hallelujah. I'm for everything He's for. Hallelujah. And all of these things. I'm just showing you the better of two things, in my opinion. And I believe it's scripturally so. But I'm willing to concede that all of these mothers that didn't teach their sons just right that I've mentioned, all of them had, they do some good. They bring up the sons. Hallelujah. Amen. And people get saved and people get healed and the hand of God is prevalent. And it's all that's very good, isn't it? But the best way is to follow the Lamb wheresoever He goeth. Them that came to Mount Zion were those that followed the Lamb wheresoever He goeth. Didn't say that first the church of got there, and then comes the second biggest Pentecostal organization here, the delegates from it. But there was 144,000 that didn't belong to none of them. Hallelujah. They just simply followed the Lamb wherever He goeth. Hallelujah. And they are the first fruits. They are the ones that walks into life. I tell you, that incident's about to be played out. Hallelujah. And I'm ready to receive my immunity where nothing can by any means hurt me. Let's stand together. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the lovely Lord. His wonderful goodness is better than life. Heavenly Father, again, my Lord, this morning, oh God, I invoke choice blessings for this people. Upon them now, Lord. In Jesus' great and merciful name, O Lord. Thank you, great God. Thank you, Lord. And bless the food, Lord, as we go to the fellowship hall and to partake of our lunch, O Lord. I pray that you'd make it a nourishment to our physical bodies. May we be ever thankful to you, Brother Glenn.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.